Hello, and welcome to the Mosaic Portland podcast. Mosaic exists to follow Jesus in authentic community for the world. We come together on Sunday as one church in two locations in Northeast Portland and North Portland. Come join us at one of our gatherings. For times, how to find us, and more information, visit our website at www.mosaicportland.org. We look forward to worshiping with you. Here's this week's talk.
Good morning. Hey, thanks for saying hi to somebody and welcome them here. Thanks for being said hi to, maybe. I don't know. Hopefully you're welcome. That's our intention. And thanks for letting me interrupt your conversations. My name's Tim. I'm the lead pastor here. It's great to be with you this morning. It's a gorgeous day. We've gotten blessed with another summer day. Which I will take. It's fantastic. But it's good to be with you. Welcome to Mosaic. There was a number of us, I think there's about 60 or 70 of us here at Mosaic that serve in different ways of serving and leading, that we either lead teams or teach in a kid's classroom or lead a band or lead a life group or serving as a leader in training as a part of that cohort. 60 or 70 of us gathered yesterday together just to have a number of people really invest in us. And so if you were one of those leaders, thank you again for being here. But just wanted to let you know that those that are among us here and serving decided to make their lives available, their time, their energy, their very selves available to us to serve in so many different ways. I spent time yesterday. We were here from about 9 to 2, just simply desiring to connect with Jesus and grow as we surrender our own souls to Jesus and have him lead us and shape us and in order to be able to serve others and see God working. So it was a great day yesterday, but if you're in a group or if you pick up your kids and there's a teacher in a class, just tell them thanks for serving and for leading in the life of Mosaic and for giving of their time and energy. It was a great day yesterday and hope to see the fruit of it throughout our year. We've been in a series called All Things New, and if you're new and you're like, what's going on with that? I just feel the need to offer a disclaimer, partly just because I'm entertained by it. But a few of us got caught watching Stranger Things and wanted to create a something that looked like a 1980s video game. So that's our best attempt at it, and I think it's awesome. And so if you don't, you can keep that to yourself. But and we've just also said that has nothing to do with what the series is about. But it's just, we've been in this short series for the month of September to get us going this fall. And so we're going to open up Scripture again and look at the last of these three words, gospel, family, and then kingdom today. And so before we do that, I'm gonna invite you to pray with me, and then we'll open up Scripture together. So would you just take a moment and pause and close your eyes and pray with me this morning? God, it's good to be with you this morning here in this room, in this time, and in this moment. God, you are with us wherever we go, whatever step that we take. You are always near. And to be able to gather in this moment, in this time with your people, with our church here at Mosaic, to gather together and with one voice sing to you and to lift up your name and to acknowledge that you are good and that you are holy, that you're different than anything else that we could imagine or create or make in our own ability, that you are transcendent and other, and yet you are close and near. And so in this place, our desire is that you would be worshiped, that our attention would shift from all of the things that are swirling around us and in our mind at this very moment, and that we would look to you and that we would hear from you in this moment, in this day. And Holy Spirit, would you be active and moving in this place? We come from very different kinds of weeks and weekends, and as we're here today, we need you to move in us. And would you sharpen our mind as we think deeply? We want to hear from you. And Jesus, this is about you. You've met so many of us, and you've transformed our lives. You're in the process of transforming us still. And Would you be our King and our Lord and our Savior today and lead us to where you'd have us go? It's in your name we pray. Amen. If you've got a Bible, if you find your way to the book of Matthew, it's the first in the New Testament, the book of Matthew, chapter 13. I want to read just a couple verses there that point us to this, what it is that we mean when we say kingdom is, as we've said, God is in the process of making all things new, and we just wanted to be really honest about, sometimes we look in our world and it's hard to see that, it's hard to acknowledge, it's hard to point out, God, where are you at work and where's the good things that you're doing? And as we read in Scripture, particularly at the very end in Revelation, we have this promise of God and saying he is in this process of making all things new, which includes healing and restoring and making all things right that are wrong in the world. And these three words that we've put up on this screen, gospel, family, and kingdom, help to tell our story of how that's happening in our world today. And just acknowledging that we might not all know what we mean by those words when we say them. And so we've taken 2 weeks ago, last week, and now this week, just to focus on each one of those to make sure that we understand what we mean when we say these words. And again, gospel isn't a word that you would necessarily use in a common day in and day out, but as we gather here and it's in our songs and it's as we read our scriptures that we find this word and it's our framing story. It's the story of Jesus that shapes our very identity as a people, that Jesus became fully human, that he was God from all eternity, that he became fully human and that he lived and died in this really rather short story that we know as the good news. Is what we mean when we say the gospel. When we say family, what we mean is the church in the world today. And as we refer to ourselves as a family, we're reminded that that comes with a lot of expectations and perhaps a lot of baggage. And yet it's this beautiful picture painted in Scripture of people that are very different than one another coming together. And last week we talked about how we actually need each other's differences in terms of background, of ethnicity, of gender, of age, of socioeconomic status, of marital status, of all of our differences. God's actually uniting us, that as much as we look around and we welcome one another, that if we didn't know Jesus, chances are we wouldn't be friends or we wouldn't be sitting in a room together and we certainly wouldn't be united in anything. And that God's actually doing this, that he's forming communities and families like this all over the world, and he has for some 2,000 years. And the reason for that is because God wants to bring this third word, his kingdom, more and more into the world. 3 weeks ago, we looked at what it meant to pray, God, your kingdom come, your will be done. And today, what I want to do is just take a few moments to look at what kingdom is, and then I want you to hear from a few areas of where we're being called as a church to step with God into bringing his kingdom into the world. Kingdom out of these three is actually the most mysterious. We have a lot of different ideas when we say the word kingdom, and even you might be scrambling, what does that even mean? And yet it comes throughout Scripture over and over and over again, this idea of kingdom. So what I want to do is to look at how Jesus talked about it and what it means, just really briefly. And again, it's the most mysterious and almost elusive. And so to have kind of a really simple understanding, knowing that there's much more that we could study and learn from Scripture. So in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus talks about it this way. And Jesus, if you read through the book of Matthew particularly, you get this idea that it is mysterious, and he gives these snapshots of it, these pictures of it, and they're almost conflicting at times and confusing. And in one point, he says this in saying that the kingdom of heaven is like this, and Jesus called it the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, and they mean the same thing. They're just different titles for it, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 says this, and these two verses might be familiar to some of you. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had, and he bought it. Really simple. Jesus, and again, other places, right in these few chapters that were that this is in 13, right in these few chapters in the book of Matthew, Jesus is talking about the kingdom. He gives these mysterious pictures of it, and then he says it in this really simple way. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure in a field. That when somebody came across it, they went and sold everything that they had, and they went and bought this field, probably really overpaid for it because there was something of great value to it. And it's same idea with a merchant that is looking for pearls, and he finds not just a pearl, but one of tremendous value, so much so that he sells everything and buys that one because to him it's so valuable. as Jesus talks about the kingdom, what he's saying is it's something that's so valuable that it's worth everything else that you have. Another way to think about it is this way. If you could choose to fix something, if you could choose to fix something, what would that be? You don't have to holler it out, but you probably don't need to think about it too much. You might need to think about it to decide, because there's a whole list. Or maybe for you, it's one thing. As soon as I asked that question, there was one thing that came to your mind, and you don't have to think about it anymore. Others of you, you're not even listening to me right now. You've got a mental list that's just growing of things that you would like to fix. And maybe your mind goes globally immediately, or maybe to nationally. I would like to fix politics. It would be great if we could do that. I'd like to fix world hunger. I'd like to bring peace to the world. Maybe it's personal for you. I'd like to fix the illness that I'm struggling with or that a family member is struggling with. I'd like to fix my marriage. I'd like to fix my grade point average. I'd like to fix something. I would like to have control and power over something to make it better. And if that kind of control or power was available, I would give up so much to get that control or power to fix that thing. When Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like treasure, or kingdom of heaven is like pearl, the kingdom of heaven is like something that is so valuable that you would give up everything to get it. And what he's pointing to is what's deep inside all of us that we long for and desire, that power and control to be safe and to be whole and to be healed. And that's what Jesus is tapping into when he describes something that's so valuable to us. If we could have the kind of control and power to keep things safe or to fix things that are not good, we long for that. And Jesus says, we know what it's like to deem something so valuable that we would give up everything else to come and get that. And what he says is, there is actually a place like that. That is possible. But it's not through any of our own strengths or any group that's ever been formed or any state or nation that's ever come together to try to marshal its power and influence to create that kind of a experience. It's just not possible in this world. But he does say it's possible through me. It's the promise that Jesus makes that shatters our expectation, that taps into our need deep within who we are as humans. And he says that actually is possible. If you turn to the book of Mark, the first chapter, a verse that we point to commonly. It says this, Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. And what this is Jesus' first statement. Jesus is roughly 30 years old, and he's been coming to this point in his life, and he's just been baptized, and he goes off into the desert for 40 days to be tested. And then he comes back, and he starts what we call his public ministry or his public teaching. He kind of comes out, so to speak, and he says, this is who I am, and this is what I am about. And he begins calling people to follow him. And this is the first thing that he says. It's recorded in verses 14 and 15. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. And this is it. The time has come, he said. First thing he says, the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, same thing. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Jesus is saying, this kingdom that we actually all long for. We long for this in some form or another. It might be flawed, it might be pure motives, but it's something that we all long for. He says, it's actually available, it's near, it's come near. It was far away, but it's actually near. Repent and believe the good news. And what he's saying is come and think differently about all of reality in the world. Think differently, repent, and believe or come and follow me. Trust me in a way that affects your actions, your decisions, your behavior. Come and follow me. What he's saying is come with me. With me, this kind of kingdom is accessible. It's present in the here and now. We read these verses a couple weeks ago, and there's so much behind them and within them, but listen to them again. It's in Revelation chapter 21. It's where we find these words, this very phrase of what God is doing and at work doing in our world. And it says this, Revelation 21, starting in verse 1, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. This is an amazing picture. It's wild. It's crazy. So many questions go through our minds here. But listen to this. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among his people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Here we get another picture of the kingdom. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. I want to be safe. I want to fix what's broken in this world. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. But there's coming a time when all the things that we want fixed and changed and wish we had power to prevent or to make better, when that will happen. And then we have God speaking in verse 5. He, God, who was seated on the throne, said, I'm making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. This is the future. This is what God is working toward. And as we understand, and again, these three words that we don't always use and we might be confused about, tell our story and shape who we are and help us understand what it is that we're invited to be a part of in this world, that the gospel, the good news of Jesus is what shapes us, that it calls us into a relationship with people that we might not be in a relationship with otherwise, that these families, these churches are formed all throughout history and all over the world today, that people all over the world are doing what we're doing here, of taking our attention and putting it on God, singing to him and hearing from him from his word. That we're a part of a family, that in all of our differences, display to the world the love of God, so that in our world, more of his kingdom will come. Here's a simple definition of the kingdom. It's basic. It's hopefully helpful and easy to remember. But the kingdom of God, what Jesus is hinting at and inviting us into, is where what God wants done is done. Where what God wants done is done. And there's a couple different parts of this, but if you can just remember that much, that that's what God is doing, that he wants his will done in this world, that what God wants for us is good, and it's a healing of all the things that are broken. And how it happens is we're actually invited to take our kingdom, because we've all got a kingdom. You have a kingdom. I don't know if you're aware of this, but you have a kingdom. Why? Because you have some power. You have some power to control some things. We all have a kingdom, and that's partly why it's hard to get along, because I want my kingdom more than I want your kingdom so often. For us that have children, we've not only given birth to children, but we've given birth to beings that want their own kingdom. And so it's a challenge for us as parents to say, you live in my kingdom. I live in Jesus, so this is good, but you live in my kingdom. And so I want you to live and behave in this way. And our kingdoms are constantly in friction with one another. And God is saying, I want to invite you into one that's even better than the best one you can imagine. I want to invite you into mine. And so what the invitation is for each of us is to actually lay down our kingdom, my kingdom and your kingdom, and say, I'm going to lay it down by putting it in yours, God. And what you want done in my life is what I want done. Most of the time, not all the time, but I want that more and more. What God wants done is done. There's two parts of this. What God wants, or his will, and another word for this is God's reign. That as we read the scriptures, as we understand the heart of God, that he actually wants to be Lord and King over each of our lives. And instinctively, many of us go, nope, I want you to partner with me, God. I want you to be my buddy. I want us to hang out. I'd really like all the blessings that you offer, but I'm not sure if I want you to be King. And God says, what's actually best is for me to be King of your life. That his will and that his reign is his good and sovereign and creative and loving presence would shape our lives. So there's a reign that Jesus is king in our life. And the other part of it that the kingdom always involves is a realm, is a place, is territory, a physicality of location, that where what God wants actually is becoming present in our lives. When Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand, or the kingdom of God is near, it's present. But when we actually surrender our lives to God, it becomes present and visible, and we experience what God wants more and more in this world. When we separate these two and try to have one without the other, what we end up with is if we just go after God's reign, we end up thinking that if somebody knows Jesus, then that's the kingdom fully present. And it's not just knowing Jesus and saying, I want you to be in my life, but it's more than that, that actually affects how we live. But it can't be separated from God's realm in this world. When people say, I want to be a part of the kingdom, and so I just want to go and serve, but I don't ever want to bring Jesus with me or tell anyone about Jesus, it's just separated from Jesus' idea of the kingdom, where it's both Jesus reigning in our lives and that affecting how we live in our world, in our communities, in our cities, and with neighbors and family and everyone that's around us, that, that God actually wants his presence to come in and through us in the world. We want to be the kind of church that actually says, yeah, Jesus, have more of my life. When you're more present and have more rule, sounds so odd to say, but have more rule and reign in my life, it's actually good for me. And as I'm obedient to you, it's good for those, not just for me, but for those around me. That's a really simple way to understand kingdom. There's so much more to be understood. It's really just the tip of the iceberg. But it's just a basic idea that that we can use as we talk with one another. We want the kingdom, God's reign, to come into our realm, into this world more and more, because it's what's best. It's how God is healing the world. What I want us to do now is to hear about a few ways that God's calling us as a church to partner with him in bringing the kingdom into the world. We can't do it on our own. As we follow Jesus, he brings his kingdom into the world. And so there's a few areas that I want you to hear about and to hear from some leaders within our community. And so I'm going to invite a few up to kind of share about how God's bringing the kingdom into the world through us as his followers and as his church. And Kim, would you join me up here? Would you welcome Kim as she pops up here?
Good morning.
Kim, you and Jared have been a part of Mosaic for about 10 years now. Mm-hmm. You came on staff about 9 years in a real part-time role leading our really our classes and our ministry and our leaders for nursery, mm-hmm. or the youngest of us among us. And one of the ways that God is calling us as a church to partner with him and to see the kingdom come in not just our church but in our city is with the youngest among us. That God's called us as a church from the very beginning to be invested in the lives of children. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about how God's called you to care about that and what that's been like for you?
Yeah, so I actually remember when I was first at Mosaic and my husband and I were attending and I was sitting right over there and they announced from the front that they were that Mosaic, one of the ways that God was calling Mosaic to reach our city was through the lives of children and families. And they were looking to build their team and to bring on people who cared about that and wanted to lead others to do that. So I ended up applying, the Holy Spirit nudged me, and I ended up applying for it and coming on staff to oversee that. And as I was in the role, God really developed even more and more of a passion as I was leading other people who cared about it, as I was focused on learning about how to do it. And one of the things that we're seeing now is that missiologists, so people who focus on kind of the research and study around missions and where missions is effective and how it can be more effective, is that they've determined and identified what's called the 4:14 window. So they're looking at where is it going to be, where is God's kingdom going to, you know, break through the most, how is it going to further the most, and they've identified that it's children between the ages of 4 and 14. And there's a couple of reasons for that, but one of the things I just wanted to kind of poll you guys is how many people in here started following Jesus or made a decision to give Jesus their heart, to follow him with their lives, between the ages of 4 and 14. If you just raise your hand. So if you just look around at that, we know that the Holy Spirit moves outside of that. And but that between the ages of 4 and 14, we see again and again that research shows, that statistics shows, and that story after story shows that children between the ages of 4 and 14 are actually most receptive to God's reign and God's realm in their lives. So they are most likely to make a decision to follow God at that between those ages. And they're also, that's the time frame in our lives when really our moral path is set and our spiritual foundation is laid. They say actually by age 9, the majority of people's kind of path for moral behavior and spiritual foundation is laid. And after the age of 14, actually, that starts to decline a little bit.
You got to let that settle. Like, just every parent in the room is doing the math on that right now. Like, I got to go.
We've got that's, work to do, right?
Yes. I'm just thinking, Owen's 9, so it's like, I'm done, right? Like,
right.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
we we know that kids who make decisions to follow Jesus are also more likely to become agents of transformation. They're most likely to become little missionaries. They talk about Jesus more easily. We see in stories and partnership applications, people who were invited to church by friends and ended up following Jesus because one of their friends, one of their neighbors, invited them to come to church, invited them to come to a VBS, invited them to come to some way of learning who Jesus is and his plan for not only their lives, but our world and their place in it.
We have an absolutely unique opportunity to influence, not just to care for and parent our children, we are doing that, but we have an amazing opportunity to impact not just kids, but families in our city, and to serve them, to love them, but to point them to Jesus. And that's still, you've shared that before, Kim. I've heard you share that before, but that how formative our early years are, and that God is calling us as a church to be invested in that significantly. Will you tell us what just some of the changes that we're looking at as we move forward?
Yes. So one of the things that we want to do is we want to grow our leadership team that's really focused on reaching kids, on inviting kids and families in our cities to come to know who Jesus is, and also to work with parents and help partner with them as they disciple their kids. And so we're going to grow that team in a couple of ways. We're posting some roles this week. We're going to bring on a kids director, an early childhood director here for Northeast. That will be somebody who comes and really helps train and develop and staff and recruit for classrooms that are focused on the early childhood years. And then we're also going to bring on somebody who is focused in the same thing for the grade school years. So probably kindergarten to fifth grade, somebody who will come and really look at our curriculum, look at our volunteers, how can we make Jesus so accessible? How can we kind of clear any obstacles for kids to come to Jesus? And then how can we actually invite kids to be inviting friends and have friends who want to come here and drag their parents here too? We're looking to hire a kids director from Mosaic North. So these are all three part-time roles that will be focused on really specific areas of how we are reaching kids in our church and families in our city.
We're excited to do that because we believe that that's one of the ways that God's called us as a church to partner with him and seeing the kingdom come, not just in our church, but in our city. And so these are significant roles going forward. It might be you. God might be prompting you, like your story kind of nine years ago or so. You might know somebody for that, but we really believe that these are significant roles in the life of our church going forward. And so please be praying about that and sharing that with friends you might know that might be interested. And thank you to so many of you that serve in one way or another with our kids already in our church. It's so significant and shaping for the future of what God's doing in and through us. Kim, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
So I want to introduce to you a new member of our team. Some of you may know him. He's been serving with us for about almost a month now, about three and a half weeks. But would you welcome Adam Harvey up here with me? Adam, thanks for joining me. This is your first time up here.
Yeah, I think so.
Adam, some of you are serving with Adam already on one of our guest care teams or with life groups, and so you may have already met him, but this is Adam's first time up here on a Sunday in front of us. But Adam and Dana, do you have a picture of your wonderful family? Well, it's not you, really. It's half of you, but will you introduce us to your family?
Sure. That's my wife, Dana, just to my left. And then going from left to right, this is my three daughters, Allie, who's age 10, Madison, who's age 8, and Lillian, who's age 2.
You got a house full of women.
Yeah.
I have no idea what that's like. I'm the exact opposite.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah. Adam is joining our team as our community life pastor, and we've actually known each other for about 4 years. God called Adam and Dana to the Portland metro area four and a half years ago to plant a church, and he's been doing that church called LifeBridge in Hillsboro for the last three and a half, 4 years. This past summer made the very courageous and difficult decision that the God's plan for LifeBridge was complete and closed LifeBridge and saw God do some amazing and wonderful things, but was not at the place where it was self-sustainable, and so decided to close that and then was really open to what was next, but felt like God had called you to this city, but didn't know what that would look like going forward. About the same time, one of our former pastors, Drew Klensing, who had been a part of our team for about a year and a half, 2 years, took a full-time job teaching in a Christian school in Vancouver, and took that in August, and so it was really fast timeline. And so these two things kind of just conversion. We said, hey, maybe this is where God's calling you. And so Adam and Dana have committed for a year. We've committed to them for a year to walk through this next year together and see if this might be a long-term fit or if this is a short-term thing, and we're open to either. But you have some experience and some passion that really has resonated and fit with who God's called Mosaic to be and shaped us as a church and where he's leading us. Can you just share a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. At the heart of the church that we were planting was this question of how can we empower people to live in community together with purposes of growing as disciples of Jesus and engaging the city through group life. And that was a question that was constantly churning in us, and we were constantly working towards that end. And as we began to consider this role, it kind of was something that felt like God was putting together, kind of unexpected, but seemed to really fit. And much of what I'll be privileged with overseeing is wrestling with that question of how are we experiencing the kingdom of God in our life groups? Where are we seeing the kingdom of God break through in homes and living rooms and dorms and apartments? And so it's an exciting thing, and it really feels like a continuation of the work that we are already doing, which was really affirming for us.
So the first area where we believe God's calling us as a church is to partner with God to see the kingdom come is with kids and the life of kids. And then the second is really in how we're in relationships and in community and in groups that are spread all over the city. And so how are you seeing that, and how do we want to see it in as we move forward?
Yeah, it's been fun for me getting to meet some of you for the first time and getting to hear about how God is moving through life groups already. I love the definition where what God wants to happen is happening. That's where the kingdom's at. And already hearing stories of where the kingdom is breaking through in our groups, where people are experiencing Jesus-centered community, where they're growing in their faith together, and where they're serving and loving the city and neighborhoods around them. And that's an exciting thing, and I hope to empower and reinforce that, and also to invite more people into experiencing that, experiencing the kingdom breaking through in their social spheres, in their neighborhoods, through this vehicle of life groups.
And you might be sitting here and going, that's actually putting words to what I'm experiencing, that I meet with people in a home, we're a part of a life group, and we're actually seeing God work and move, and our lives are becoming different. We're inviting people in that don't know him, or we're serving people that are far from him, or we're just experiencing a different kind of life as we follow Jesus together. You might also be sitting here and going, I want that, but that's not even remotely close to happening yet, maybe in your group, or you're not even in a group, and we believe that that's where God's calling us, and not, again, not just for us, but that would be part of it. But beyond that God would work through us wherever he's planted us, that we live in places that are spread out all over the metro area, and that God actually wants to work through us where we are right now. And Adam, we're just excited to have you on, and to watch God kind of orchestrate this has been a gift to us as a church that he's brought you in this timing, and to know that Drew took a role in it, started teaching, you know, just a couple weeks ago, and kind of going, hey, we have a need, what's going to happen, and to have you really feel like you've been provided by God for us, and to know the track record and some of the good things that God did through your leadership at LifeBridge, and that we get to benefit from that now is really exciting for us. So, yeah, welcome.
Yeah, we feel the same. We are honored to be a part, so thank you.
Would you thank Adam?
Thanks.
If you haven't met Adam yet, he's going to be around afterwards. Obviously, he'll be here. So if you just give him a high five or a hug, he likes hugs. And just welcome to Mosaic. Say, glad you're here. Thanks for serving us. One last area of kids in our neighborhoods with our neighbors. And then the last one is this. each and every one of us work in some way. We might work in our home. We might work in a company, on a job. Your work right now might be going to school. That might be your work. You might be retired and you do a lot of yard work. You might do a number of different things. We do something in our lives that takes up a significant amount of our weeks and our time. The reality for us as followers of Jesus right now, where we work, whatever that looks like, is in our city at this time, it's actually becoming more challenging to be a follower of Jesus. My wife and I were talking with a gal here at Mosaic, and I'm not going to share her name. I didn't ask to share this story, so she'll remain anonymous, but we were talking with her just recently, and she's in her mid-20s and is in her career and works downtown. And as she and Abby were talking, Abby has just started working as an ER nurse. They were comparing stories of what it's like to know and follow Jesus and to work in our city. And they used this language, which I thought was telling. They said, have you come out yet at your work? Have you come out? Have you identified yourself as a follower of Jesus? And they're comparing the emotion that went along with that, the inner tension, the turmoil that is present. And for many of us, we've experienced the challenge of being a follower of Jesus in our city. And that it's becoming more and more challenging. It's not getting easier. One of the ways that we believe that God's calling us to partner with him to bring the kingdom into our city is where he's called us to work, to learn, to go to school, to serve, whatever it might be. And that's becoming more challenging. I mentioned it a couple weeks ago, but I want to take a moment to mention it now again, that starting next week, we're going to start a teaching series that's going to help equip us to do that. Help equip us to be followers of Jesus wherever we're spending the majority of hours of our week, whether that be work or school or at home or wherever it might be, because it's getting more challenging in our time. And so what we're going to do starting next week and for the 7 weeks following is to take a look at the story that our culture tells and the beliefs that it tells and compare that to the story of Jesus, the gospel. And we're calling it seeing and believing. There's this great picture in the New Testament where Jesus is in a conversation with the Pharisees and Sadducees, and he confronts them and says, you can tell the weather, but you don't actually know what's going on in the people and the culture around you. You've missed it. And we want to be a people that don't miss it, but actually can discern it, can identify it, can interpret it, can understand it, and then can respond to it in all of the love and grace and kindness that comes through the gospel. That we can understand where it's intention and how we can respond to it and live as people of love and grace and kindness in a city where it's really difficult to be a follower of Jesus. And so starting next week is going to be this series. And we're actually starting a number of groups that are just going to run for the course of these 2 months, October and November, to process some of this as well in our life groups as well. And so if you want to get involved in one of those, you can as well. Really believe that God is calling us to step into this tension and this turmoil of being a follower of Jesus in our city right now when it's becoming increasingly challenging. And yet that's actually part of the way that God's calling us to bring the kingdom to our city. We're going to continue to worship and sing. And for those of you that are following Jesus, as we sing, you're invited to this table that we so often come to every week we gather and are reminded of the good news of the gospel of Jesus laying down his life, his body broken, his blood shed for each and every one of us. And this is what shapes us. This is what defines us. And so I invite you to sing, invite you to come to these tables and to be a part of what God is doing in and among us, of bringing his kingdom, his reign into this world through us. Jesus, as we come today, we're so grateful and humbled by the reality that you have given your life for us and that you invite us into relationship with you. Would you continue to embolden us and give us courage and clarity of how it is that you want us to live in this world, that we would actually, in our very own lives, in our hearts and our minds and our very bodies, that your reign would come more and more, that our lives would be in tune with your will, that we would surrender our kingdom and place it in your kingdom, and that we would actually see that, tangibly see that physically happen more and more in our lives, in our homes, in the places of work and places where we experience family. That we want to see your life, God, that you are good, that you are loving, to have it be more and more present in our world.